and get into the lesson here. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we thank you, Lord, for sending your son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. What a, and our sins, Lord, especially our sins, and we're thankful for that, Lord, and we're grateful for it. And Father, we pray that we would just take heed to your words this morning. We would hear them, that our hearts would be prepared to hear them, Lord, and that we would just, if we need to change something in our belief system, Lord, we need to do that to match your words. And we pray that we would do that and just have that type of an attitude, Lord, as we study and as we hear your words this morning. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. Matthew chapter 24, just go through a brief overview. You've got the first six verses would be taking place like from the time, I would say from the time Jesus left the earth until now, okay? Until he went up to be with the Father in heaven, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father today, until now. Or until the tribulation starts, okay? That would be verses 1 through 6. Then you have the tribulation starting in verse 7. It says, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. And that's when you have the nation rising up against the nations and the kingdom against kingdoms, and there'll be famines and pestilences. And we went through all those references in Revelation where this is the start of the tribulation, the start of some of those seals that are being opened upon the earth. Okay? And then you have that from 7 to 14. And then from 15 on, you have the Great Tribulation. From 15 to 29, you have the Great Tribulation. Okay? And that is when the Jew is being exterminated. I'll put that word out there because that's easy for everybody to understand. They are being exterminated. Those that are found in the land of Judea are being exterminated. They're being killed. They're being sacrificed. They're being eaten, and all those other things that go along with that prophecy. Okay, and those that escape that great tribulation are the ones that flee to the mountains when they see that image being set up. And we went through the verses that it's an image that's going to be set up, folks. It's not when the Antichrist comes in and sits. It's when the image is placed in the holy place. And we went through the references on what the holy place was. It's in the court. So it's outside of the temple, but it's in the court of the temple. So this is something that's standing up. And you could see in Daniel with the image of Nebuchadnezzar. It was a pretty tall image. It stood about 90 feet tall, and it was about 6 feet around. Okay, and it looks like it's a cylinder type image that he placed, but people could see it, and they were to bow down and worship this image, or they were to be cast into the fire. And so, but that's where we left off. Verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And we saw last week that the immediately after the tribulation, the Jews are still here, folks. They're still here. They're here for a certain amount of time. And when you study the book of Daniel, you'll see that there's a certain amount of time that the Lord gives for the great tribulation. And then they have to wait around 45 more days. It looks like they have to wait for 45 more days after that tribulation. And it looks like they are in darkness. It looks like the whole world is in darkness. There's no natural light. And you know, we expressed how the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom begins with light. And the Antichrist kingdom ends in darkness. And men love to have it so. So verse 30, the Bible says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so after the darkness, the Son of Man appears. And so it's something that can be seen. Isaiah. Isaiah 62, verse 1. It's something that can be seen. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And so people are going to see Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And we saw last week, it's not only the elect, it's not only those that are saved, it's the unsaved. And we saw how when Jesus comes back, this lightning, it's not lightning per se as a thunderbolt, it's lightning as the sun light comes up, it lightens the earth, and it comes up in the east and sets in the west, and we saw like four or five references about that. So it's not lightning, it's lightnings. Look, if you would, in Matthew, there's a difference, and I couldn't find one in the dictionary. But if you see the context of this, it's Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. Matthew 24, it says, it doesn't say the lightnings. It says, for as the lightning. And anywhere else in the Bible where you see references to lightnings, it doesn't ever claim them to be the lightning, okay? And so this, we saw that it was the lightning of, it's like how the day gets lightened. But Deuteronomy 33:2, another verse about this. The Bible says, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai, and rose up from Seir unto them. He shineth forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. This is the Lord coming back, and he's going to shine, and people are going to see. And we talked about a blind man last week. A blind man knows when the sun comes up. Even those that don't know about Jesus Christ are going to know when he comes back, because they're going to feel the heat. Light brings heat, folks. And Jesus Christ, when he comes back, it's going to be fiery. We see that in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The Bible says in Revelation 1:16, there's another verse, Revelation 1:16. The Bible says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So it was as the sun. So he's going to be bright, folks. And when he comes back, everybody's going to see him. Everybody's going to see him. A more descriptive picture of this is found in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1:27. Find it. Ezekiel, 1:27. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about with it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so that's a rainbow, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So that's what he's going to look like, folks. And when he starts coming down, and imagine now, the moon is dark, the sun is dark, the stars have withdrawn their light. They're not letting the light hit the earth anymore. When the light appears, everybody's going to see it, because everybody's going to be wanting for this light. They're going to be wanting for some light. They're going to be wanting for the sun to come back. The actual sun, their God. But Jesus is coming back. And at that time, they're not going to have faith in their gods, because Jesus is going to come back. And that's what they're going to see. And they're going to be, those that haven't trusted in him are going to rue the day. They're going to rue the day. They're going to be destroyed. This is a destroying fire, okay? This descriptive picture that we just saw in Ezekiel, it's a destroying fire, 2 Thessalonians. And we're probably going to go here more than once today. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this is after the tribulation. This is after the darkness. The darkness is set on this earth. There's no light from the sun. There's no natural light from the stars. No natural light from the moon shining on this earth. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back like this, and he's going to burn people up. Flaming fire, taking vengeance, okay? That's how he comes back. Who are these tribes, the Bible says? Verse 20, Matthew chapter 24. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power. Who are these tribes? Some say it's only the tribes of Israel, but that's not what the Bible says. It says clearly that all the tribes of the earth. It doesn't say all the tribes of Israel. It says all the tribes of the earth. And so what it looks like here is that these tribes of the earth are kindreds of the earth, different peoples. Revelation 1, verse 7. The Bible says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And so, this mourning that you see here in Matthew chapter 24, this all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, it's a wailing, folks. It's a wailing. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This looks like it matches Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And we'll probably end up here again. Revelation 14:14. The Bible says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice, or with a loud cry, to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vines of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Okay? And so we'll stop there on that one. Again, God's elect, folks, are those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, whether they be Jew or whether they be Gentile. That's his elect. Okay? These events in Matthew 24 seem to be in chronological order. Remember what the disciples asked him in the start of the book, Matthew chapter 24. We'll read it real quick so we don't get this one messed up, but they're asking him, tell us, when shall these things be? Verse 3. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So it appears as though Jesus is giving these events as they're going to happen in a chronological order. From the time he leaves earth up to the tribulation, through the great tribulation, through the time when he comes back. Looks like it's in chronological order. So, but it looks like Jesus leaves out what happens to those that are not elect here in Matthew. Matthew 24, verse 31. He's saying he's going to gather together his elect. And we're going to read in some other places, it looks like he picks up what happens to the unsaved in the next few verses, okay? But we're going to read that the unsaved is gathered out first. That's what we're going to read. And I'm just going to give you that preview before we go into it. When Jesus comes again, everybody's going to see him coming. And all those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as we saw in the previous weeks, are going to be gathered together with a sickle. The angels are going to gather them together. And they're going to gather them to the Battle of Armageddon. How they do that, I don't know, but that's how it's written in the Bible. And they're the grapes, and the grapes get squished at the second coming. And we're going to see that in Revelation 14. We didn't read it all when we were just there, but we're going to see that here in a little bit. And then all those that are left are gathered together to the Lord Jesus. Okay? The sickle in Revelation appears to be angels. That's what it appears to be. It's almost like the Lord has his angels as the sickle gathering these people. That's what it looks like. But I'm not 100% sure on that. But when you compare these events in Revelation 14:14 with the events in Matthew 24, they seem to line up pretty good with these people getting gathered together from the four winds. Okay, seems to line up really good from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door's edge. So here Jesus is going back to his disciples' original question to teach them when the end of the world should be that they asked him about in Matthew 24:3. Okay? Jesus says, you know when the winter is almost over. We saw that there's only two seasons that God recognizes in the Bible. A couple weeks back. The winter and the summer. We saw that, and it's in Genesis. And so he says, you'll know when the end of the world is near. You're going to know when the winter's almost over, and that's when that fig tree starts to leaf. And then the summer will come in. You know the summer's near, okay? And the winter's almost over. So you're also going to know the end of the world is near when you see the sun not give her light. When you see the moon not give her light. When you see the stars have withdrawn their light from the earth, you're going to know the second coming is near. And that's what he's trying to show them here. And so, verse 34. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Okay? So what exactly is a biblical generation? And Pastor hit on it last week. what's this generation here? The context of what's going on in Matthew has to be understood for you to understand what's going on, okay? In Matthew chapter 24. And for the last 15 verses, this context has been the great tribulation upon that Jew. And the devil wants to completely wipe out that Jew. He wants to wipe him out. That's his whole purpose of doing this here and killing this Jew off and chasing him. He wants to kill them all. And so we see in the Bible, in Genesis, we see in Matthew, that a generation starts with somebody being born. And it ends with somebody dying. That's a generation. Okay? And so a generation, it begins with a birth and it ends with a death. In Exodus 4:18, you have Israel being born as a nation. Okay? Exodus 4:18. That can't be it. Well, maybe not. Yeah. No, that's not it. I don't think it is. Is 18 through 23? Oh, yeah, it says, "And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. If thou wilt reserve to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." So we see here, that's a son of, huh? Verse 23. Yeah. "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh," verse 22, "Thus saith the Lord of Israel, is my son, even my firstborn." And so God borns Israel. He borns them at some point in time. Okay? And Israel has been alive to this day. This is context of Matthew 24 is the nation of Israel. The context here is that nation is not going to pass away. This generation. The generation starts with a birth and ends with a death. Okay? And that nation of Israel, it's not going to pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And then after all those things are fulfilled and Jesus comes again at the second coming, what happens to the nation of Israel? They're born again in the millennium. They're born again into the millennium. They go through a death. They go through a rebirth in the millennium. And folks, what Jesus says here is coming to pass. It's coming to pass. That nation will not die off. We know this. There's a remnant. God's words are true. The devil's not going to be able to exterminate them all, even though he wants to. Verse 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And so we know, if you've been here long enough, you've saw the references, you know the what's going to happen in the future here. The earth is going to be dissolved. The elements are going to be melted. Revelation 21. The earth is going to pass away. 21 verse 1. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea." Okay? And so here's this passing away. You can almost say that there's a new birth of the heaven and earth. You can almost say that, folks. If you go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, what happens to a person once they've trusted in Christ? Old things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." What's going to happen to the earth? We're going to get a new earth, right? "Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, All things are become new. All things are become new. This is the closest you're going to get to a regeneration, folks, is when the earth, we get a new earth and a new heaven. That's the closest you're going to get. Yeah, in the millennium, you've got the earth being healed, but you don't have a rebirth there. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7. The earth is healed, but it's not regenerated because it's not new. Folks, do you realize that when the millennium starts, there's still sin in the earth? There's still hell. The hell isn't cast into the lake of fire until after the great white throne judgment. And that's after the earth melts with the fervent heat. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the Lord's promise. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's millennium, folks. And that doesn't happen until at the end of the tribulation. It's when the Jew gets right and the Lord has somebody to come back and rescue. Okay? And so this healing of the land is just a temporary fix here. The actual regeneration comes after the millennium. Comes after the millennium. Why? There's too much sin on the earth. There's too much sin in the earth during the millennium. And we see that. But Romans 8:22. You know what the earth is doing? Same thing our bodies are doing. Same thing our bodies are doing. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know what the creation is waiting for? Redemption of its body, which is the earth. And praise the Lord for that day. And I can't wait till it happens. Psalms 1, 102. Psalms 102. 102, verse 25. The Bible says, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are of the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yet all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Just like we're changed at the moment we trust in Christ. Hey, Christ, when he came down and died on the cross, he died for everything and everybody, folks. And that creation, it can't wait, just like our bodies can't wait. Matthew, what time is it there? We got some time. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father also. But my Father only. Mark goes as far as to say that the Son doesn't even know the day or the hour. Okay, and that's found in Mark 13:32. But by the verse in Mark 13, it appears as though there are limitations placed on the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this earth. There are limitations of knowledge placed upon him. There were certain things that he does not know. And I don't know how to explain it, folks. He's God. God manifests in the flesh. But don't forget, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. There were some things he had to not know when he came to this earth. And we have to understand that was his, he chose that for us. He chose not to know some things for us. But I do believe he knows now. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and I'm sure the Father has told him everything. I can't prove that, but I'm sure that he has. But it says right here that while he was on the earth, at least we know that only the Father knew the day or the hour. And so this knowledge has been held from him, or he chose not to have this knowledge, and he humbled himself. So, folks, do you realize how easy it is for God to make it so that man doesn't know the day or the hour? I don't know if any of you have been in jail, but if you don't see light and the sun going up and down, you lose track of time really, really quick. And you have to ask somebody, hey, what day is it? I'm going to tell you that. I know. But when God shuts the lights off, folks, there is nobody that is going to understand what day it is. There's nobody that's going to know the day or the hour that the Lord returns, because they have no reference of time anymore. I mean, I don't even think watches are going to be working, but I know that there's not going to be any natural light for them to gauge things by. And we gauge days by the sun going up and down. And we gauge time that way, hours that way. And if all God has to do is shut the lights off and nobody knows what day it is, especially in a time of turmoil where there's no food, and people are in the mountains, they're just looking, they're waiting for food to come. And people that are not in the mountains, they're looking for food. And you're going to see this here. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were. During Noah's day, folks, man was busy. He was busy doing the things of this world. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. He was pretty busy. And so in the tribulation, man's going to be pretty busy. And he's not going to be concerned with the exact days that the Lord already gave for his return in Daniel. The Lord gave it. The Lord gave it. And he's not going to be concerned with the 45 days that they're going to be in darkness for. He's not going to be concerned. He's going to be concerned about the things of this earth. And notice, in Noah's day, they were doing legitimate things, folks. And in the tribulation, people are going to be doing legitimate things, like eating and drinking, living life. But in Noah's day, they were doing all these things without God. And in the tribulation, they're going to be doing all these things without God. They're going to be doing all these things under the Antichrist rule, because that's the only way they're going to be doing them. The Bible tells us they're not going to be able to eat or drink unless they have the mark. So for somebody to be eating and drinking in the tribulation and giving in marriage and having money to do all this stuff, they'll have to have taken the mark. And just like Noah's days, those that don't take the heed of the preaching were taken away when the waters came. Now, I'm going to say something here that we probably haven't heard, or maybe we have. In the next verses, you're going to see there's going to be people taken away. There's going to be people taken away. In our minds, think of it as a rapture. But if you see what just happened here, people were taken away in Noah's day. They were taken away from off the face of this earth. They were gone. No more. And so verse 40 and 41, to understand what the Lord means here, you have to go back to the parable of the man that sowed the good seed in his field. This isn't the good being raptured, folks. 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Context here, kingdom of heaven is coming in. People that make it to the end, that obeyed the gospel, that know God, they get to walk right into the millennium. Those that didn't, they're taken off the earth, folks. They're taken off the earth. But if you go with me, if you would, to I don't know where that's at. It's Matthew. I'm sorry. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 24. And we're getting ready to get done here. Matthew 13, verse 34. Or verse 24, I'm sorry. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And folks, Christ's barn is on the earth at that time when he comes back. He's going to set up his kingdom. They get to go in. The tares are gathered and burned. And so these people that are being taken in verse 41 and verse 40 and 41, they're not the good people, folks. They're the tares. All right? I hope we see that truth here. They're the ones that they don't know God. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians. They're the bad being gathered to be burned when Jesus returns. Revelation 14:14, and then we'll be done. I hate to end on that note, but but that's where we're going to end. 14. We just read 14 through 17. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Those that don't know Jesus Christ, when he comes back, folks, winepress, it's where they're going. They're being gathered up. They're being taken off the earth, and they don't get to enter into the millennium. The ones that are left get to walk in. Praise the Lord for that, and we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the truths of your words, and we pray that we would just take them in their context and understand them. But more importantly, Lord, that we would search it out for ourselves and that we would get truth from you. And we can be guided by man, Lord, but we need the truth from you directly, and we pray that we would get that. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.